read this morning from the scriptures of our study, of our contemplation, from Joshua chapter 1, and beginning at verse 16, only three verses remaining in chapter 1 for our consideration. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. We are in a series of messages entitled A Faithful Generation. And this is now the 9th sermon from this series, and I've entitled the message today, What Say Ye, Brethren? What Say Ye, Brethren? As we come together again this morning, as I said, this is now the 9th message in our study, attempting to preach through the book of Joshua. And if, God willing, we complete verses 16 through 18 today, that will take us only through the first chapter. I know that some of you would have hoped for a somewhat faster pace and to move more quickly through this book than we did in the book of John. And I can assure you that I am attempting to move on as well as I can. But even so, I feel that I am at best only touching the mountain peaks, as it were, and I am yet leaving many precious jewels strewn upon the ground. In lamenting this plight of mine to my wife, she wisely reminded me this week that the Word of God is such that we may come again year after year after year to the same scriptures, and on each returning visit see new and glorious truths, and we are never able to exhaust even one text. And so we move. Such is the glory and wonder of the living Word of our God, that it may not be exhausted even in one place. So we plod along again today in the first chapter of Joshua's record of a faithful generation. Moses is now dead. Verse 2. And you'll remember I hope some valuable lessons to our hearts from that truth. I don't know when it has been a very long time, I'm sure, since anything has so profoundly affected me personally. This truth, the finality of that statement, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, Joshua, arise and go over. I would press on your heart again this morning that we must not live in the past. We must rise up and go over if we're to be a faithful generation. Moses is now dead. And the Lord has now come to his newly appointed commander with specific instructions for the conquest and possession of all of his intended blessings. Joshua has laid them out. And on last week's message, that's what I attempted to do. Joshua has laid out those instructions, those promises, those preparations. Joshua has laid them all out, and all the demands requisite to the proper ordering of a faithful generation. As a pastor, given the charge of this or any other flock of God's heritage, in leading you to the faithful possession of our God's blessings, I too must constantly and earnestly press upon your minds God's demands. Not my demands, not my interests, but God's demands in order to your proper possessing of the promises of God. It is my duty, as it was Joshua's, to press upon Israel the demands of God for their possession of the inheritance, and that now in chapter 1 has been done. While it is my constant employ, shall I say burden, to remind you of God's demands, it is yours to heed and respond. And it is exactly that response which Joshua here records to our soul's instructions for us this morning. Israel's response, and thus the title of my message, Brethren, What Say Ye? Joshua has laid it out. And now Israel must answer. Verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. And whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. If I could just pause a second, as it is so often my delight to do, could I just pause here at the outset and share with you another valuable sidelight. There is all too often an inordinate, dare I say, prideful abuse of this business of reminding God's people of their duties. All too often, a leader's attitude is not that which was reflected by that gracious centurion in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 6 through 10, when the centurion said, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in him." "I'm a man of great authority," says the centurion, "but I'm not worthy that you should even come into my house." I'm saying to you that that's the attitude that ought to be reflected in any leader. How often it is not, men and ministers and pastors and leaders and those that stand before people to remind them of their duties. It's not my leadership. It's not my law. It's not my words that need to be obeyed. It's the King. And I am but a reminder. I am but a voice to remind us. But now in our text this morning, with that sidelight aside, Joshua has faithfully fulfilled the discharge of his duty to press on Israel again their commitments to their covenant God. And now here in these verses, we find Israel's response. I couldn't help but to think, as I put together this message a couple of weeks ago, how wise is our God in His unfathomable providence. Because in the infinite magnitude of His wisdom, there could be no better text. There could be no better message for the first Lord's Day of a new year than this text. The pattern to our hearts of all of Israel, saying with one voice, "All that thou commandest we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." What better message? What better message could there be for a people on the first Sabbath day of a new year than this example of Israel? Oh, here is a glorious testimony for us today, the imitation of which cannot fail but to bring down the greatest blessings of God and the full possession of His promises to a faithful generation. Dear old Blakey, great old Scottish preacher, Blakey said, here then was an edifying spectacle, a grand testimony against selfishness, a grand assertion of brotherhood, a beautiful manifestation of loyalty, and we may add, an instruction and instructive exhibition of the working method by which Providence seeks to provide for the dissemination of multiplied blessings among children. Here it is, in this example. Here is how it will be done. A bold, public, heartfelt commitment to obey God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Note with me the twofold commitment. I said bold. I said public. I said heartfelt commitment. Note the twofold commitment by which they engage their souls in this text. Number one, to do. And number two, to go. Oh, how simple. How simple is obedience. And yet, how hard to our flesh. Yes, even a saint like Paul the Apostle, a saint like Paul the Apostle, whose service and walk with Christ was such that he had been allowed a visit even to the third heaven, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 2. But even that servant who had been granted such a view and walked so nearly with Christ, even he complained in Romans chapter 7 and verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We've had reason this week in this church to talk a lot about death, about dying, about the prospects of it. And I was talking with my wife this morning again. Oh, how wrongly we view it all. How wrongly we view it all. How fretfully we talk about it. Paul said in this word, oh, as he contemplated this war that goes on in his members, finally, without constraint, he cried out, oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Willing rather, he said, to go on. Would that there were a better name. Was it Valancourt said it, whichever? Said, would there were a better name to call it than death? Would there were a better name to call it? For it is not a thing to be shunned, but embraced. Oh, the glory. It's a translation. It's a graduation. It's a coronation. It's a move from darkness to light. From death to life. Death. Even the Apostle Paul struggled with it. He said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, who shall change our vile body? Who shall change, talking about the Lord, shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he's able to subdue all things unto himself. Oh, we all struggle, but listen to the commitment. Listen to the commitment Israel makes. What say ye, brethren? Well, here's what Israel said. We'll do whatever you tell us. Oh, the wise man. The wise man in Ecclesiastes 9:10 instructs us, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. There's a good word for 2018. There's a good message for 2018. Lord, whatever you have for me to do, I'll do it. Joshua chapter 1 verse 16. They answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. Just do it. Just do it. Don't waste time speculating about what will happen. Just do it. Don't waste time fretting about what the future holds. Just do it. Just do it. Don't waste time dreading and fearing and worrying about outcome. Just do it, saint. All that he's commanded us to do, just do it. Israel here, in an unqualified, unreserved commitment, commit themselves to obedience. Oh God, give us such as this, such a heart that's willing to do it, whatever the cost. Can you see it? Israel gathered together before Joshua, and he says, after all the instructions are laid out and the promises are laid out and the requirements are laid out, and he says, now, what say ye, brethren? And they said, all that you command us to do, we'll do it. But wait, there's a second thing. They declared in their declaration, verse 16, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we'll go. How many of us are quite willing to do so long as we don't have to go? How many of us are quite ready to do just so long as we don't have to go? You see, going costs more. It's more uncomfortable. It requires more. Will you go? Will you go? Years and years and years ago, I don't even remember how many years ago, my wife and I used to sing a song. Chris, you remember? We sing that song we call the missionary song. I think I shared it with Tinkerbell recently. God gave his son for me to die on Calvary. He shed his precious blood to save my soul. And I never could repay the sacrifice he made, oh, but with my life, I'll show the debt I owe. And then the chorus said, I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. And the valleys I must cross, to do thy will, O God. Then I walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill. I'm willing, Lord, to go. Oh, precious saint, in 2018, will you go? A lot of times we're ready to do, but we're not ready to go. Israel said, whatever you command us, we'll do it.
wherever you send us, we'll go. Will you go, saint? Will you go to your neighbor? Will you go to the jail? Will you go to the nursing home? Will you go to the lost? Will you go to that struggling saint? Will you go to your computer and work? Will you go to the library and research? I'm asking you this morning, will you go? Will you go? Get up! John said to Joshua, get up! Arise and go over this Jordan. In verse 2. And Joshua had responded, but now it's Israel's turn. What say ye, brethren? Will you go? Oh, my precious saint today, in 2018, can I encourage you to go? Get up and go. Get up and go. Get up and go from your comforts. Get up and go from your leisures. Get up and go from your preferences. Get up and go from your fears. Get up and go from your dullness and sloth. Get up and go from your pampered pettiness. Get up and go! Commit today. What say you, brethren? Commit today to get up and go. But now, could I just show you a beautiful thing in verse 17? Oh, this is a beautiful thing. I was so blessed when the Lord showed it to me in verse 17. Listen. They're still speaking now, Israel speaking. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things. So will we hearken unto thee. Can you imagine the sound of these words in the ears of this man at this place? As we hearkened unto Moses. These are the sons of those who forged a golden calf and cried, take us back to Egypt. These are among those whose constant unfaithfulness brought down the anger of God time and time again. These are the sons of those who rejected Moses' right even to rule over them. These are the sons of the most unfaithful, disobedient generation ever known in Israel to that date, and yet they dared to say, as we hearkened unto Moses, we will hearken unto thee. And here's a beautiful thing. I said, I'd show you a beautiful thing. Listen. What does Joshua do in response? Look at the rest of that verse. Where they said, only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. They pronounced a blessing. They pronounced a blessing on him. And what did Joshua do? He received their blessing and moved forward as planned. Did you hear me? He received their blessing and moved forward as planned. Oh, listen to me.
All was forgotten. There were no grudges here. No grudges here. All is new. Oh, blessed be our God. Listen to me. If we'll only come again. If we'll only come again at the outset of this year. If we'll only come again to our heavenly Joshua and swear again our allegiance to follow Him. All of our past is gone and only our frail and recent all of our frail and recent disobedience will not be remembered. But He'll receive our blessing and move forward. Hallelujah. Oh, I told you, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Can you imagine these folks standing in front of Joshua and saying, oh, as we follow, hearken unto me, we'll hearken unto you. Only the Lord bless you. And what does Joshua do? He receives their blessing without a word. Notice there's not a word from Joshua here. Without a word, he receives their blessings. Can I just read you Psalm 103 and verse 7? He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. Oh, Joshua didn't chide Israel. Joshua didn't rebuke Israel. He will not always chide, neither will He be angry forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Hallelujah. Well, listen. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He hath removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Oh, can I tell you this morning, there's a beautiful thing in verse 17. Israel said, we'll hearken to you. We're going to follow you. And Joshua just blessed them and moved forward. It would be good for some of us if we could do that, wouldn't it? If we could just forget about what happened before. Just forget the past. Receive the mercy of God and pronounce a blessing and recommit to go. Isaiah 38 verse 16. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Isaiah 38:16. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Oh, listen. If we're going to be a faithful generation, we just need to step up and commit afresh. Just commit afresh and listen to me. Our heavenly Joshua will say nothing about the past, but will receive with joy our blessings on Him. Amen. He'll say nothing. He'll cast them behind His back and go forward. Oh, how sweet is the nectar. How sweet is the nectar of a precious forgiveness from the honeycomb of God's boundless grace. Can I just say this, saint? Can you forgive yourself if God can forgive you?
Can you forgive yourself if God has forgiven you? Forget about the past. Make no mention of it. If it's forgiven, then God has thrown it behind his back. Hallelujah. But listen again to this benediction. At the end of verse 17, only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Bush in his commentary said that Israel here is saying to Joshua in this blessed benediction, Israel is saying to Joshua, do not fear for us. Do not fear for us. Be assured of our constant obedience. Be solicitous only for thyself. This is our only matter of anxiety, that the Lord would be with thee and prosper thee in all things. And then, says Bush, the surest way to bring down the blessing of God on our heads is to pray down the blessing of God on those who have responsibility over us. Isn't that good? Boy, that's a principle right there. The surest way, says Bush, to bring down the blessing of God on our heads is to pray down the blessing of God on those that have responsibility over us. That applies to you children, your parents. Applies to us as believers. Oh, Joshua. Joshua surely knew the principle described in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 long before it was ever written. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over shall men give it into your bosom, for the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. They blessed him. They blessed Joshua. They pronounced a benediction on him and said, oh, the Lord be with you, brother. That's all we're interested in. Don't worry about us. Don't worry about us. We're going to obey. But the Lord bless you. And now in verse 18, go even one step further with me, verse 18. They say, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Or someone I think wisely said, they wanted to pass a law. Someone said they sympathized with him and wished to inspirit him for his arduous, honorable work. They knew how much commonly depends on the leader's courage and how quickly his fear would affect them. It was advice in full accordance with their actions. They had gone the right way to strengthen Joshua by their instant submission to his will. They did not try to cheer him with words, having previously knocked the breath out of him with their deeds. Speech and conduct were in harmony and lent force to each other. They wanted to propose a law for the reaffirmation of their determination. They wanted to propose a law. Oh, I know now, if this message through the internet gets out to any of our modern Calvinistic brethren, they're going to cringe at the word law.
But Israel wanted to propose a law. Yes, they wanted to bind themselves in a league of obedience. Hallelujah. Says Matthew Henry, perhaps if such a law had been made in Moses' time, it might have prevented many of the rebellions that were formed against him. For most men fear the sword of the magistrate more than the justice of an eternal God. Matthew Henry says it might have been a good idea if they passed this law a long time ago. No, I'm not suggesting this morning a return to the theocratic laws of Israel, nor to the legalistic hypocrisy of fundamentalism, but I am strongly recommending a return to Israel's heartfelt convictions in this, a faithful generation. To have his law, in the words of 2 Corinthians 3:31, 3:3, to have his law written on the tables of your heart. In conclusion this morning, hear with me the words of George W. Butler in 1878, speaking of this Joshua, in whose words I think we may look past this Joshua to our own heavenly Joshua. When Butler said, Here is one before the people who, as we have seen, is in every way commended to the acceptance of this nation. He had been Moses' minister. He had, at the head of the army, led Israel against Amalek and prevailed. He had accompanied Moses to the Mount of God. There was none of all Israel of high rank. He had already traversed the land of Canaan as one of the older and eldest of the people. He was more than 20 years older than the eldest of them, except Caleb. He was full of the spirit of wisdom. He had been appointed by God and formally ordained by Moses to be the shepherd of the Lord's flock and the leader of the Lord's host. And now, after new intimations from heaven, he has issued his orders to the nation through the officers, the representatives. And then Butler asked this, was ever one called to an office either better qualified or more fully equipped? Oh, can I just put it all, sum it all up in this? Israel's heart could safely trust it. No wonder they said with one voice, yes, we'll go where you send us. We'll do what you tell us. Finally, blessed old Blakey again, I think, gathers up as we close this chapter. He gathers up in one bundle the whole matter when he says this. The unanimity of the people in their loyalty to Joshua is a touching sight. So far as appears, there was not one discordant note in that harmonious burst of loyalty. No chorus,
no Dathan, no Abiram rose up to decline his rule or embarrass him in his new position. It's a beautiful sight, says Blakey. It's a beautiful sight. The united loyalty of any nation or church. Then making reference to an historical event, Blakey says, nothing more beautiful has ever been known in the long reign of Queen Victoria than the crowding of her people in hundreds of thousands to witness her procession to St. Paul's on that morning when she went to return thanks for the rescue of her eldest son from the very jaws of death. Not one discordant note was uttered. Not one disloyal feeling was known. The vast multitude were animated by the spirit of sympathy and affection for one who had tried to do her duty as a queen and as a mother. It was a sight not unlike this that was seen in the streets of New York at the centennial celebration of the inauguration of George Washington as the first president of the United States. One was thrilled, says Blakey, by the thought that not only the multitude that thronged the streets, but the representatives of the whole nations gathered in their churches throughout the land, animated by a common sentiment of gratitude to the man whose wisdom and courage had laid the foundation of all the prosperity and blessings of 100 years. Are not such scenes, says Blakey, the pattern of that spirit of loyalty which the entire race of man owes to him by whose blood the world has been redeemed and whose rule and influence the world, would they but know it, are so beneficent and so blessed? Yet, says Blakey, how far are we from such a state? How few are the hearts that throb with true loyalty to the Savior and whose most fervent aspiration for the world is that it would only throw down its weapons of rebellion and give to Him the hearty allegiance. Strange, all listen to this statement, it's so profound. Strange that an Old Testament Joshua should have got at once what 1,800 years have failed to bring to the New Testament Joshua. God hasten the day, said Blakey. God hasten the day of universal light and universal love, when he shall reign from sea to sea and from river to river and to the ends of the earth. Strange it is that an Old Testament Joshua got at one moment what 1,800 years, and now we can say more than 2,000 years, have not brought to Christ. Universal obedience. I ask you one final time this morning, what say ye, brethren? What say ye?